In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As was often the case, there was a Pharisee who came to Jesus, and he asked which was the greatest of the commandments, and Jesus answered, of course, love God above all things, and your neighbor as yourself. And the Pharisee, wanting to justify himself, said, but who is my neighbor? Thinking it would be the standard answer, which was a fellow son or daughter of Abraham, someone who was a Jew. They're your neighbors. You have to love people who are like you. But that's not the answer Jesus gave. Instead, he gave the great parable of the man who fell among thieves and the Good Samaritan, in which we learn that everyone is our neighbor. That's a disappointing answer. Why is it a disappointing answer? Because it means we have to love people, even people who don't look like us, who don't speak like us, who don't believe the same things we believe. We have to love everybody. Now, that doesn't mean we have to feel warm fuzzies about everybody, because, as you know, love is not an emotion primarily, but it's an act of the will. And why do we love everyone? Because everybody is made in the image and likeness of God. Now, as a friend of mine once observed, sometimes that image is buried very, very deep, but that image is there. And so we have to love everyone. And so, our Lord, in his task and his work of perfecting the teachings of the law, not abolishing them, but perfecting them, says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Nope. You have to love everyone, even your enemies. You have to pray for your enemies. Now that, in my view, is one of the hardest commands of sacred scripture. Everything else is relatively easy compared to that. Love your enemy and do good to those who persecute you. Very difficult thing. I've had wonderful examples of this in my own life. In my last parish, there was a couple whose son was killed in a hunting accident. It was later determined that it wasn't an accident, and the man who killed her son was in prison. And while they went to the parole hearings and asked for the man not to be released, not a day went by that they didn't pray for that man. And they had masses offered for him. We have St. John Paul II, who went and visited the guy who shot him and prayed for him and actually obtained his conversion, even though the guy's a little nuts, he obtained his conversion. We are required to pray not only for those that we love, but really it's more important that we pray for those who we don't love, who are our enemies. That's why when we pray for someone, it doesn't necessarily mean that we approve of them or that we even like them. In fact, it's better for us when we pray for those that we don't like. Because not only are we fulfilling the commandments of the Lord, we're being reminded that like or dislike, like us or not like us, they are our brothers and sisters, and that Jesus died for them just as much as he died for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.